In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, we heard today two gospel readings that speak to us about healing and resurrection. We heard how the Lord called his 12 disciples, and he gave them power and the command to go out and to cast out demons, and to cleanse the lepers, to heal the sick, and even to raise the dead. And now he himself, as he traveled throughout Judea and Samaria and the regions there, how he healed and he raised the dead. And people flocked to him. They crowded around him. They came to him as their deliverer, as their Messiah. Christ is the Savior of the world. And we see this so powerfully in these gospel readings. But sometimes the world loses sight of this and can't see Christ as the Savior. Speak a little bit about this today. But I want to start with a saying, or sometimes what people consider to be something of a modern-day proverb. And that is this: a little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. Who's heard that? Just about everybody. Little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. And why is that? Why is a little knowledge sometimes a dangerous thing? We might say, well, isn't knowledge a good thing? Isn't it good to have at least a little knowledge? And of course, yes, it is. It's good to have a little knowledge. But a little knowledge can be dangerous when we think that the little knowledge that we possess is the height and the apex, the summit of all knowledge. When we think that the little knowledge that we possess is everything, and there's nothing more for us to learn. That's when that little knowledge can be actually very dangerous. We took this proverb and we said, a little love can be a dangerous thing. You might say, well, how could love be a dangerous thing? Isn't love a good thing? Well, yes. But let's apply that same reasoning. What if the little bit of love that we have, we think it to be the summit of all love, perfect love, when in fact it's actually deficient, when it's actually lacking? For instance, what if we think the love of reciprocity, I'll love you if you love me, is the summit of all things? We'll never ascend to love for our enemies, to love for those who persecute us. That'll be out of reach. What about this saying? A little health can be a dangerous thing. Well, now we're really stretching it, right? How can health be something bad? The same exact reason. If we think that the health that we have now is perfection, we won't realize that there's actually something better for us. Now I'm going to blow your mind. A little Christianity can be a dangerous thing. Following the same principle, it can be. If we think that our Christianity that we have is the summit of all faith and devotion. You know, when we have this kind of thought in our minds that we're at the summit already, we find ourselves in a very perilous situation. Think about a student in a classroom who thinks that they know everything and the teacher has nothing to teach them. What are they going to learn? Think about someone who's a patient in a doctor's office and considers themselves totally well and that the physician can do nothing for them. The person won't be healed. What if we asked ourselves this question? If I were a teacher, if I were a doctor, what would I do? What if we were in these positions? What would we do? And it's better to ask this question than to say, if I were the doctor, if I were the teacher, I would do this. Right? It's better to ask that question than to make a declarative statement that if I were in this position, this is how I would handle, this is what I would do. We can ask ourselves, if we were Christ, what would we do? And that's certainly better than saying, if I were Christ, this is what I would do. Sometimes people, in our common pride, fall into this temptation. If I were Christ, this is what I would do. Today, this is very popular. If I were Christ, I would do away with hell. I would do away with sin. I would do away with the commandments. I would do away with the moral code, the difference between right and wrong, virtue and vice. I would do away with absolute truth. Everyone can be right. All religions can be the same. If we wanted to grow the church, if I were Christ, I would say, well, I'm going to do away with fasting, confession, forgiveness and reconciliation. We can kind of diminish or limit or even get rid of prayer and study. Worship would be only on Sunday morning. And only when the people feel like it. But in fact, you know, let's just get rid of worship entirely. It's not even really necessary. Let's just let everybody get into heaven. If I were Christ, this is how I would set it up. Everybody goes to heaven. We get rid of every kind of seemingly negative or bad thing that is an obstacle to that. And in our pride, we think, well, this sounds great. Everybody gets heaven. And they don't have to do anything. What a better Christ I would be. Heaven would be open to everyone because I love them so much. The problem is, of course, that we would have destroyed the very way to heaven. The very way for people to come to love God and their neighbor more than themselves, which is heaven. We would have destroyed heaven by doing away with all of these things. And we would have destroyed those people who we wanted to get into heaven because we would have destroyed their character, ruined their eternal soul. The priest once had a conversation with a woman who was under this temptation. If I were Christ, this is how I would do it. And the priest was having this conversation, trying to keep this person in orthodoxy, and posed a question to the woman. The priest said, you're married, you have a husband and children. What would you do if your husband left you for another woman, ran out on the family? It's against the moral code to do that. What if there were no moral code? What if everybody could just do whatever their heart's desire was? The response was, following this kind of pseudo-logic, well, I would just want my husband to be happy. And I would suffer for my husband. And it sounds almost Christian to say that. Almost Christian to say that. I would just want others to be happy, and I'll suffer myself. And yet what happens if that takes place? The husband goes out chasing this woman or that woman, leaves the wife and children. How much suffering happens in that family? Not just for the wife, but for the children. How does that affect our community if everybody in society goes out and does that very same thing? And very importantly, how does that affect the character of that husband that she supposedly loved so much? Destroys it. A little love can be a dangerous thing. Just recently, we had the privilege of having one of our nephews entrusted to our care for a week. Little Samson, our nephew, was with us, and I told our children, he's a young boy, he's like a year and something, I told our young children, I said, give him whatever he wants. He's the guest of honor. Whatever he wants, he gets. And you know, at that age, children start to want things, start to demand things. And you know what their response was? Papa, no. No, you can't do that. And why did they say, no, you can't do that? Because they knew what it would be like to spoil him. We would create a monster. His parents would never entrust us with him ever again. We would have ruined him. We would have ruined him by giving him whatever he wanted. Okay, fine. Let's ask this question, because we're talking about healing today. If this is the case, we'll acknowledge that. But still, why can't Christ at least heal us? Why can't he heal us? Why can't he deliver us from death right now? Why not? Would that really be so awful? When we talk about Christ as a physician, any physician who's worth anything knows that they need to treat not just the symptoms, but the cause. right? And in fact, the treating of the cause is more important than the treating of the symptoms. Doctors do treat symptoms, but never to the detriment of treating the cause. They never undermine the healing by trying to give comfort, if they're a good doctor. Well, Christ is the supreme doctor, and he follows those same principles. In fact, actually, we should say the earthly physicians follow those divine principles. And Christ knows that the human person is both body and soul. That the human person suffers in both body and soul. And in fact, the suffering that we have bodily is a symptom of what's happening spiritually. That there's spiritual illness there in man. And this leads to his corruption, his mortality, and his death. When the soul departs from God, who is life, it can no longer give life to the body. And the soul and the body separate. And there's death. Because there was this separation from God, who is life. Christ comes to undo all of that. To fix the symptoms, which is our sickness, our suffering, and our death. But more importantly, to fix the cause. To restore communion with God, who is life. Well, still, why doesn't God just fix everything right now? Why doesn't he heal perfectly now and give resurrection now? And the answer is because we have to be on board. We have to accept what the doctor gives us as his orders, his medicine. We have to listen to what our teacher instructs and to learn his truth. We have to become like him in love. And also, our mortality is a great gift. Mortality is a great gift. It sounds totally false. It sounds like a mistake. How could it be, mortality being a gift? What does mortality do? Mortality restricts our boundless selfishness. You know, there's once a time where I was driving on the road and I saw a BMW. On the BMW, there was a bumper sticker on the back. And it said, whoever dies with the most toys wins. And I thought to myself, well, there's two wrongs here. One, you don't put a bumper sticker on a BMW. And two, and more importantly, whoever dies with the most toys doesn't win. That is a lie. Mortality reminds us that earthly success that we spend so much time pursuing, chasing after, is actually temporary, fleeting, and worthless. Mortality also saves us from isolation. When we face the fact that we're dying, especially when it comes close, we seek the help of others. We reach out. That false sense of invincibility is gone. And we know that we need help from God and from our neighbor. Mortality saves us from isolation. Mortality also makes us more compassionate. We learn to empathize with our fellow man who's suffering because we know what it is to suffer. We empathize with our fellow man who's dying because we know what it is to face death. And mortality makes us look for the real spiritual cause. We know that something is not right with existence. Something is terribly wrong. And our mortality makes us search that out. Find out what the problem is. And those who are smart dedicate themselves solely to that. They seek the one thing needful to overcome death, to enter into the kingdom of life eternal. Mortality is a great gift. And perhaps if you were to speak about mortality or give an illustration of mortality, you might end up with drawing a picture of, let's say, a tombstone. But I think we can draw a better picture, and that's the picture of the cross. Right? We're people of faith. When we see the cross, we come face to face with mortality. But we also come face to face with the one who's overcome mortality. The one who hangs on that cross with us. Christ heals us through our illnesses. You hear that? Christ heals us through our illnesses. Christ gives us life through our death. What a paradox. What a mystery this cross is. And when we come in contact with Orthodox Christianity, we have a choice in it. Because what Orthodoxy will reveal to us is authentic Christianity. And we have the choice to decide, are we going to continue to try to be our own teacher, our own physician, and our own Christ? Or are we going to realize that we have the supreme teacher, physician, and Christ? That is a choice for each and every one of us to make. We can decide what we want to do with our life, who we want to be. But of course, I encourage you to follow the one Christ. And I'll leave you with this. God is not only our teacher, physician, and Christ, but he also, through the incarnation, shows us what it's like to be a student. He shows us what it's like to be a patient. He shows us what it's like to be a follower. And he faces everything that we face with us. He took on our sicknesses and our illnesses. He took on our corruption. He took on our sentence of death. He took on all of these things. And he was faced with this very decision that each and every one of us face. Do you remember when that happened? In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he contemplated what he knew was coming for him, the mystery of the cross, he said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not what I will be done, but what you will be done. Christ submitted himself entirely to his heavenly Father. And he began that work of healing, that work of enlightening, that work of saving. And you know what happened when he was lifted up on the cross? You know what the crowd said? Physician, heal thyself. Physician, heal thyself. Totally unaware of the depth and mystery of the cross, knowing that he was actually doing just that. And not only healing himself, but healing the whole world through this great mystery of the cross. Brothers and sisters, what a privilege we have to be Orthodox Christians. Let us follow the one true Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ.